The Boston Celtics sweep the 76ers. Now it's on to the Toronto Raptors. We're going to talk about it on this Monday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. Happy Monday and happy advancing in the playoffs, whatever you want to call it, things. The Boston Celtics won and swept the Philadelphia 76ers. And I'm John Corrales, the Boston Celtics beat reporter for MassLive.com, coming to you after the Celtics 110-106 win in Game 4 of the first round of the playoffs. Now it's on to Toronto, who also swept. They put up 3,000 points against the Brooklyn Nets and swept that series. So Celtics, Raptors, second round starts Thursday. We'll talk about that. We got plenty of time to talk about that. First, thank you. Last week was the biggest week in Locked On Celtics history. The biggest audience this podcast has ever had last week. So I want to start by saying thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for sticking with the podcast through all of the changes that we've had over the past year or so. Thank you for just sharing, rating, reviewing, all of that stuff. If you're new, welcome aboard. I'm guessing some of you are new because if the audience is this big, then we've got plenty of new listeners here. So thank you for sampling. I hope you really appreciate the show. I hope you subscribe, follow on Spotify, wherever podcasts exist. We exist. All of you regular listeners, love you. Thank you for the good ratings and good reviews and all of that. It's been great. Thank you. We're going to follow the same pattern here for post-game podcast. Segment one, positives. Kemba was awesome. Jason Tatum was awesome. Negatives, there's still some negatives, including how the Celtics finished game four. Segment three, I wrote a column on Joel Embiid. I'm going to talk about Joel Embiid in segment three because I think it's worth discussing. So let's start with the positives. Kemba Walker in this game, game four, game three as well, but game four, 32 points on 8 of 15 shooting, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 turnovers, a steal, 2 blocks. I got to start with the stuff. Let me just start with the stuff that's not the usual stuff with Kemba Walker. That he, in game three, tied for the team lead in rebounds with 8. He, in game four, tied for the team lead in blocked shots with 2. And for Kemba Walker, who is like 5'11", to go out there and grab 8 rebounds, to go out there and block 2 shots, to play the defense that he played, that I want to start with that because that just goes to show the level of effort, the level of desire, what he's trying to do here. It's just beautiful to watch a guy like Kemba doing this work. And it has to be noted. Now, of course, Kemba, that's not what he's here for. But that's just a hell of a bonus. And I wanted to start with that just to emphasize how important that type of stuff was. But obviously, Kemba is in Boston to do what he did in this game four. Drop 32 points, take 13 free throws and hit 12 of them, hit 4 of 9 from 3, hit 8 of 15 from the field. To put together this type of performance is exactly why Kemba is here. And not only that, the big overarching story of this is the plan worked with Kemba Walker's knee. The plan worked. And so Kemba came back, and at the end of June, beginning of July, we started to hear that, what do you mean his knee still hurts? Like, that was the scariest kind of news that we could get, right? Like, when you heard it, when I heard it, we first talked to Kemba and he was like, yeah, man, this layoff was great for my knee. I needed that. And then a couple of days later, it's like, oh, his knee hurts again. That was not great news. And the way it all played out, it was not encouraging. But the Celtics swore that they had a plan, that they were ramping him up at a slower pace than everybody else. It frustrated him. It frustrated the fans. It frustrated me in the media because I had no way of knowing what was going on with what was happening. We were kept in the dark just by virtue of the situation. I couldn't be at the facility. I couldn't be at practices, at games. I couldn't see from my own two eyes how he was moving, all of that stuff. So now we have the confirmation throughout all of this, and these last two games especially, the plan worked. He had the burst. When Joel Embiid was playing up, he blew past him. When Joel Embiid was playing back on the drop pick and roll coverage, he pulled up. It was just whatever the defense gave him, Kemba took advantage by getting to spots where he was comfortable. And he was the number one reason why the Boston Celtics won game four. Now, Jason Tatum is the next positive, and he had an amazing game too. He and Kemba combined for 60 points. Jason Tatum had 28 on 10 of 18 shooting, 2 of 5 from 3, 6 of 10 from the line, which is weird. 15 rebounds, a playoff career high, 4 assists, and a couple of blocks. So he and Kemba Walker combined for 60 points and 4 block shots, which is wild. But there was a stretch there after the very scary Tobias Harris fall. And just side note, thank God he's okay. Like, that looked bad. And I missed it at first. I you know, when you're covering and you're watching the game, I turned to write a note or whatever. I didn't see what happened. And then I looked up and they showed the replay. My God. What a brutal fall. I think he's very lucky that he actually got his left arm down. If you watch that replay, and I don't suggest watching the replay, but if you do see the replay and knowing that he's okay, maybe it's less jarring to watch that replay, but it was jarring to see him hit like face first, but he got his left arm down, and I think that cushioned the fall just enough to prevent what would have been a very, very bad injury. The fact that he came back, the fact that he played, look, I don't trust the Philly medical staff much, so I think that's questionable. But anyway, he's okay, but that fall, it clearly shook the Sixers. There was a tie game after that, and the Celtics went on a 12-0 run, and Tatum was at the center of that entire run. The Celtics took advantage of a shook Sixers team, and Tatum was, like I said, he hitting like deep threes, like takeover shots, which is, look, Tatum after a game three where he had foul trouble and never got in a groove, but even in that game, he had 4 block shots. So Tatum, the best thing I tell you about Tatum is that he has not, no matter what, he has not really slacked on the defensive end, and that is so huge. And the best play that he made, I think, this entire series was in the first half. He went and laid it in, fell, and he slid almost all the way off the court. If it was in a regular basketball arena, it would have been 5 rows deep. He slid, and then Philly came down, and he ran back and blocked a shot on the other end. That one of those two blocks came after he was sprawled out and way back out of the play. He charged down the floor, made that play, got that block shot. It ended up, I think Philly ended up scoring on that play, but still, that kind of even doesn't even matter. The fact that Tatum was able to make that play and put that effort in. I mean, here's your star player. I mean, he's a young kid who is out there becoming a star in front of our eyes. To make that play, I thought was awesome. The rebounds were great. He's doing things all over the floor, and even when shots aren't falling, even when he's frustrated with the refs, which I'll talk about in the next segment, but he's still doing other things. Couple more positives before we take a break. Marcus Smart, got to shout him out for those game three steals. A couple of times just launching himself into the air. I compared it to a defensive back on a tip drill where you like pick it off, but you tip it to another defensive back, and that guy runs it back for the touchdown. Marcus Smart diving in the air, tipping it to like Jaylen Brown or tipping it over to Kemba. Those plays were just awesome. Such Marcus Smart plays, like winning plays. Awesome. He sealed game three with those types of plays. That steal at the end when the Celtics went on a 10-0 run to close game three. That was Marcus Smart. And you got to shout out Marcus Smart. And toughness. Toughness from the Celtics that they were able to, in the clutch, at the end of game three, as tough as everything was, 10-0 run to close the game. In game four, 12-0 run to change the course of the game. Now, again, next segment, I'll talk about how they let up a little bit, but toughness from there. And before I go, I have to admit that I was wrong about Philly. I thought they had 18 minutes of fight going into game three. I thought they were ready to quit. And to their credit, I gotta give them the credit. They fought. They fought throughout game three. They fought throughout game four. They didn't quit. They are a mess. And in segment three, I'm going to talk about Joel Embiid and his very big role in them being a mess. They're a mess from top to bottom. They're never going to win this series, but they were tough. They didn't quit. That says a lot. So I'm going to take this. I'll take the L on that. No problem. But I gotta give it to them for showing that level of toughness. Segment two coming up next, the negatives. And there were a couple. Not going to dwell on those. Now, those of you who know me know I played basketball a long time ago. It's been a while. But it still hurts. My knees, my ankles, they still hurt. My back, and as I get older, it just hurts a little bit more. I need a little bit of a boost. And now I get a boost because I sit around a lot. My job is the opposite now, where I sit around all day. And whether you're one extreme from there or the other, we all need support to make it through. Now, I use CBD, and our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets hectic. CBD Freeze with Menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient, easy-to-use roller or shareable squeeze tube. CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need where it matters most. To make it even better, try this amazing duo of topicals, and you can try everything else CBDMD has to offer. They are offering our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com. Use the promo code NBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can even follow us on Spotify. Now on to the negatives from the last couple of games of the Philly series, mostly game four. The Celtics still got too comfortable. And whenever they felt like they had things in hand, they kind of relaxed. Zach, we got it. This is cool. It's done. And I don't know, maybe they were listening to me. Maybe they listened to me dismiss the Sixers. Say, they've only got 18 minutes left of fighting them, so we're just going to play for 18 minutes and then cool out. But clearly, the Sixers had a lot more fight in them. And what I didn't like is how the Celtics didn't force the issue a little bit with the ball movement and really put in that extra effort to move the ball and put this away and make it a little more comfortable. Now, it's hard to sit here and be too pissed off about a team that just swept the Sixers and say, well, you should have swept them better. Like, they swept them. But I do think that they could have made it a little bit easier on themselves. I say that knowing it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter because they've got a few days off. They're not playing till Thursday. This is the Monday show, and they're off on Monday. So they've got Tuesday and Wednesday practices. They'll still be on the floor on Monday, but it'll be light. They'll shoot around, but it's not an official practice. They'll watch their film. They'll start putting their game plan together for Toronto. And so what's done is done. I get it. But I still don't like that they get too cool at times. And Brad Stevens after the game said the final 3 minutes of that game four were not great because the Celtics came out and had that burst where they went on that 12-0 run. They separated themselves. It started to look like they could put Philly away, and they just didn't. And you just want to see that closing bit, that one extra thing. And no, it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things now. It doesn't matter in regards to that series. But that killer instinct, that thing has to exist. In the playoffs, these teams are just not going to quit. We know the Raptors are just not going to quit. Now, Kyle Lowry hurt his foot. He looked like he turned his ankle, but Gary Washburn reported that he's getting an MRI in his left arch, which seems odd. But they, if they're shorthanded, they're especially not going to quit. That's going to be a tough, tough series. If the Celtics get too cool at all, at any stretch in that series, they're going to get crushed. That's going to cost them a lot. Philly was not able to take advantage of that. Philly in game three shot 29.5% from the field. That's just almost impossible to do. That's something you do if you have me on the team now at my age, not when you have NBA players in their 20s. You're supposed to shoot a little bit better than 29.5%. That's ridiculous. The Celtics defense is great, and the Celtics did put together a great defensive effort. And I like a lot of the things that they did, but that was silly. The Celtics could have been in a much worse situation. Now, Jaylen Brown, as another negative, surprisingly had some casual turnovers down the stretch. I don't know, maybe because it was part of that same being too cool. I felt like I hadn't seen that from Jaylen Brown in a while. The type of the kind of like almost mindless, like he's not really there. He's not present. It was an old bad habit. And I just kind of felt like that kind of showed itself a little bit at the end. I'm not going to make any big deal of it. I'm actually not going to talk about it any longer. I'm just going to acknowledge that it happened. I didn't like that it happened because it's his worst habit. And so I'll leave it at that. But it did happen, and I didn't like how casual those turnovers were. I'm willing to just chalk that up to end of game four. We're moving on. And his mind wandered, and he lost focus. So we'll leave it at that. I also don't like how caught up Jason Tatum is with the refs. I'm not going to belabor this point. I've talked about it before. I'm talking about it again now because it keeps happening. And the fact that there was one instance, I forget exactly when in the game it was, but he spent the entire time walking up the floor, three-quarter court, just talking to the refs the entire time. And like animated. He's kind of lucky he didn't get a tech there. If he has one really big flaw, it's that he is still caught up with what the refs are doing and how the refs are treating him. I don't know. Maybe it's paid off. He did take 10 free throws, Weirdly, he hit six. It was kind of like Tatum's a good free throw shooter. He's a good shooter. For him to hit only 6 of 10 is weird. Like, I don't know how many times he's going to take sets of 10 free throws where he's only going to hit six, but he did. Oh, well. But again, it's just a thing. Not going to belabor that point either, but you know it. I know it. He's still a little too caught up with the refs, and I don't like it. Final negative, Daniel Tice's confidence. Like, it was kind of funny because he did hit a three, and he looked over the bench and was laughing. He was making that money sign, and he was laughing, like, looking at the bench. That was a funny moment during the game. I just want Tatum to shoot with a little bit more. I mean, I'm sorry, Tice to shoot with a little bit more confidence. That's all. And he's going to be really necessary in this Toronto series. Now, throughout this week, we'll talk a little bit more about the Toronto series and get some crossover with the Locked On Raptors and really dive into that series a little bit. But we may not see Enes Kanter in that series. Not much. Their guards are too good. Philly could not run pick and roll. They did some, and they exposed Kanter some in game four, but Toronto will decimate Enes Kanter in the pick and roll. So Daniel Tice is going to be really important. I know the Warren Tice exists, and he's going to get into foul trouble. He's got to try to avoid that as best he can. But his confidence, the Celtics are going to need him to shoot with confidence, and they're going to need him out on the floor. I think that's going to be a big Robert Williams series. All right, I got things to say about Joel Embiid, and that's coming up. I also have things to say about Built Bar, because I love Built Bars. I've worked them into my nutrition regimen as I exercise and try to stay in shape and try to work off some of the COVID, quarantine pounds. I love the protein bars that Built Bar puts out. I love some of the other products that they put out. Go to builtbar.com and check all of them out. But it's really about these super delicious protein bars. They've got a bunch of new flavors. They've got a bunch of original flavors that you know and love. They're all amazing. They're 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew, flavors that include nuts, flavors that do not include nuts. So if you've got an allergy, totally cool. The best part about these and why I love them so much is they don't have a lot of the extra crap that you would normally get in a protein bar. Normally you get something in bar form. It's not great for you. But this Built Bar, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for a keto diet. If you're a health conscious person, you can use them as a meal replacement. You can use them as an enhancer to kind of supplement your workouts, because that protein is a big boost and helps fuel your workouts as well. Whatever it is, go to builtbar.com. If you have gone to builtbar.com and already made a purchase and you think, hey, I've already used the promo code Locked On to get $10 off. Nope, doesn't matter. Reset the promo code. You can use it again. The promo code is Locked On. You get $10 off your next order, even if you've used that promo code before, and a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. So go to builtbar.com, use the promo code Locked On, and you get $10 off your first order. Promo code Locked On for $10 off at builtbar.com. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. So, Joel Embiid. I am not a big fan of Joel Embiid. He's great as a basketball player. He's great. But he can be dominant, like historically dominant. Like, he has the potential within him to be one of the league's most dominant players in all of history. And if the people who know me know that there are few things in basketball that bug me more than unrealized potential in somebody especially that has so much potential. And maybe it's because I didn't have it. Maybe it's because I never had that level of talent or physical gifts, that everything that I had to get from basketball, I had to work my ass off for. That when I was in high school, my freshman year, I couldn't make a damn layup. And by the time I got out of college, I was ready to go and play professionally overseas. Like, it took every ounce of every bit of work to get everything I could out of me. And when I watch somebody fade like he does, when I watch somebody clearly not in the type of condition, and 4 years into his career, have that still be a thing that we talk about, and have that still be something that is valid as a criticism, is infuriating to me. Because more than anything, I'm a fan of basketball. And more than anything, I want to see the best of the best be their best. And Joel Embiid is not his best. And as a competitor, as a person who wants, every time I ever went out there, I wanted to win and beat you at your best, to watch somebody not be his best, I feel it's a sign of disrespect, not to himself, but to his teammates and to his competition. And you're watching here from a Celtics perspective, and yeah, of course you want to sweep the Sixers. Like, that's something, you go into a series, you want to win every game. But just like Bill Russell, Bill Russell was 1969 when the Celtics were playing the Lakers and Wilt Chamberlain took himself out of the game with some kind of injury and never came back in. And Bill Russell thought that Chamberlain kind of took the easy way out, was kind of done, was done with this, didn't want to play anymore, checked himself out. And Bill Russell was pissed. Now you'd think, hey, great, Chamberlain's out, let's go, let's win this thing. And the Celtics did. That's the balloon game. But Bill Russell was pissed because he wanted to just, he didn't just want to beat you. He wanted to beat you at your best. He didn't want to leave you with any excuses that you couldn't point to this or that and be like, well, if we had this, then you would have won. He wants to make sure that you had every option available to you. And then he still wanted to beat you, so you couldn't say a damn thing. And that, to me, is awesome. I love that. And so when you watch Joel Embiid go out there and fade down the stretch, or when you watch Joel Embiid have an obvious advantage. Now, the Celtics' defense was awesome on Embiid. Generally speaking, they did a great job. The way they dug down and made it disruptive for him when he tried to dribble was just great. They really were disciplined in that. I thought that was amazing and great. But he's still good enough where he could have forced the issue even more. That he didn't have to sit there and accept that the Celtics were going to dig down. Because you say, all right, fine, you're going to dig. Okay, so it's not going to take me four dribbles to get to my spot. I'm going to do this in one or two dribbles. I'm not going to give you the opportunity to dig down on me and make this uncomfortable. But he never adjusted. He never adjusted. He just kept doing what he did. And the second things got tough, he just decided, all right, I'll face up. I'll just take jumpers. Okay. Every jumper he took was a win for the Boston Celtics, even if he made them. When he made three or four in a row, I was happy. Like, all right, fine, take those. Because what did I say coming into this series? You single cover Joel Embiid. Whatever he does. As long as everyone else doesn't do anything, you're good. Now, it didn't quite go exactly that way, but the concept is still the same. That whatever Joel Embiid got, he got. And as long as no one else did anything, they were fine. So yeah, they sent doubles sometimes. They dug down and it wasn't just a straight single coverage, like I said. But the concept was still similar. The concept was don't turn him into some kind of passer where he gets 6 or 7 or 8 assists. He had 4 assists in the entire series. 4. How is that possible for a guy getting double teamed? Now, sure, some of it is the other guys aren't making shots. Sure, there's definitely some of that. But 4 assists and none, not a single one in game 4, not one. He put up these numbers, was it 26, 34, 30, and 30, and like 12, 10, 16 rebounds. Big numbers. Looks like he got his. And that's exactly it. He got his. He did not make his team better. And the Sixers suffered for it. I was afraid coming into this series that without Simmons, that Embiid was going to go out there and dominate so much that he was going to win a game for them by himself. And there was not a single point in any of these 4 games where I thought, wow, Embiid is really taking over. The Celtics are screwed. They got to do something. Not once. For a guy that averaged over 30 points a game in this series, how is that possible? Not once did I sit there and say, whew, Embiid is going off. This is a problem. He was just hitting shots. He was hitting jumpers. Take your jumpers. It's bothersome. And if I'm a Sixers fan, and if any Sixers fans are listening, I'd be pissed too. Because he didn't make his teammates better. He didn't make any of his teammates any better. The Celtics didn't have to double team him when he was taking jumpers. They didn't have, there were no passing lanes that were opened. Embiid should have had 5 assists a game in this series. He should have been passing out of double teams and hitting guys and making his teammates better. He did not make a single teammate better. Embiid talks about wanting to be an MVP. He wants to talk about all of these big grand things. It's not any of that. He's not any of that. He's a guy with a ton of talent, and he relies on that talent. And it's very obvious that he's not putting in the work. It's very obvious. If he put in the work, if he put in the type of work that like a Marcus Smart puts in, or hell, like any role player puts in, he would just be dominant. He could be the Shaq of our generation. And it's great for the Celtics that he's not, but it bugs me to watch a guy with that much talent who can go and do all of the things that he does, put the ball on the floor, good footwork, can shoot some, can do the things that that defensively that he can do. But if he's not putting in the work, he's playing that drop coverage. Why are they playing that drop coverage and giving Kemba Walker all of the shots that he can get? Because Joel Embiid is not in good enough shape to go up there and play up high. And he has the gall to be pissed that somebody else didn't cover for him when he's supposed to be up there. He played Jason Tatum flat-footed. Jason just juked him, went left, went right by him, and scored. Like, no problem whatsoever. None. No problem. It's embarrassing to be Joel Embiid and to have those types of things happen. It's just embarrassing. Because he's so good, and he's like at, I want to say he's like at 70% of his potential. 80% of his potential. Like, he's got so much more that he can do. And I don't want to turn this, obviously I turned the entire last segment into like a Sixers-focused thing, but you want to see the best be their best. And he's just nowhere close to his best. I wrote about it. It's on masslive.com/Celtics. Hit me up on Twitter, RedsArmy_John. If you have thoughts, if you think I'm wrong, tell me. But I don't think I'm wrong on Embiid. That's a problem. All of you new listeners, thank you for listening. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Much more. It's a Monday through Friday podcast. So much more all week. Every day, Monday through Friday, there's a podcast waiting for you. Wherever you get your podcast, follow on Spotify. Go ahead and subscribe. Regular listeners, thank you. Good 5-star ratings, good written reviews have been great. Thank you for sharing and making this last week the most successful week in Locked On Celtics history. Thank you very much. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.